Thank you for joining me for the webcast. It is April the 30th, 2013. It is a Tuesday morning. Before I left the house going to work, I checked my date and I said, my goodness, it's been a heck of a long time since I've done a webcast. So I think I'll talk about human nature and me. And I think it's a good subject matter that we can talk about. We want to look at the way that we are. Genesis chapter 8, verse 21 says, "And when the Lord smelled the pleasing odor, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man. For the indignation of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again destroy every living creature as I have done." Now you may say, thank God for that. For God has given us another opportunity to show ourselves being worthy of our humanity. What is human nature, and what does it have to do with each and every one of us? I think that's the question. Joshua chapter 4, verse 14 reads this way. It says, "On that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all of Israel, and they stood in awe of him. And they stood in awe as they stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life." Now what we're looking at here is we have to ask a question. What did we see in this verse that is unique about God? And what is unique about our human nature? Well, the Lord is the one that elevates certain humans to lofty placement. A lot of times we don't like who the president is. We don't like his latest appointee. I understand from looking at the news yesterday that he appointed one of the mayors of the cities of our country into a very high and lofty position. God is the one that elevates, not just the president. So it is the same today as we see the gradual decline of individuals and the lofty, lofty assessment of other individuals. And we may ask the question, how does that happen? Follow along with me. Psalms chapter 53, verse 3. Says, "They have all fallen away. They are all alike, depraved. There is none that does good, no, not one." Now that's a pretty good estimate of humankind. Totally depraved creatures. Sometimes we can do the greatest things in the world, and at other times, we in our human nature can do the most despicable things that one might ever think of. But what does this say of God's estimate of his highest creation? They have all fallen away. They are all depraved. There is none that does good. No, not one. What are the ones that he has exalted? For they in the same are they in the very same class of men? Is there a contradiction in the mind of God? Does God know what he's talking about? Is he just throwing out simple ideas? Something for us to give thought to. Well, let's do some exposition here. When you look at Psalms chapter 53, verse 3, the exposition of that verse, verse 3, every one of them is gone back. The whole mass of manhood, all of it is gone back. In the 14th Psalm, it is said to turn aside, which was bad enough. But here, it is described as a running in a diametrically opposite direction that God has humans going in. The life of unregenerate manhood is in direct defiance to the law of God, not merely apart from it, but opposed to it. This has been my claim for years as I was speaking over the radio, over these webcasts, and I have to look at my life very closely too. And I have to ask the question, am I opposing God to that degree that he would call me a totally depraved creature that needs to get my mind right? These are very important questions that we must ask ourselves today as we try to figure out this question of human nature. So Psalms 53:3 is a very important verse. Let me read it to you in the real and so that you know exactly what I'm talking about. Psalms 53:3 says, "Every one of them is turned aside. Every one has gone corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. That is the estimate that God has on us as human beings. So what that does is this forces us to take a very good look at ourselves and our relationship with the God of our creation. I mean, if he's really thinking this way about us, then we have to make sure that our human nature is in the right path. Now, let me take you to another scripture so that we can get a good idea about this. A book that we very rarely go to, the book of Ecclesiastes, and I want to look at chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, if you will go there with me. And as we go there, we want to really take a good look at this. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. That which has been seen is that which will be, and that which has been, it says, done, is that which will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one might say, see this, is it new? Already it has existed for ages which were before us. Now, I'd like to read it to you again from another translation, and so that you can understand a little bit better what is being said in this text of Scripture. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has been already in the ages before us. Do you know what God is saying? This is beautiful. Because he's saying basically, there ain't nothing inconsistent which has not already taken place. As a matter of fact, the question that confronts us today is why are we looking for that which will never satisfy us? And that's what man is looking for. You can look at our arts and crafts. You can look at the music that we listen to, the movies that we watch. None of it satisfies us. We need something new. We have to find something new to excite us. We become bored very quickly. I was talking with a friend of mine over the phone last night, and he was telling me about these frivolous TV shows that he watches. And often I laugh with him and tell him, I don't waste my time watching that foolishness. Listen, if God has stated in the Word that all is fixed and repeatable, why do we seek for that which is a new thing? Why are we seeking for that to satisfy us when the satisfaction is God himself? Is there any logical conclusion to this? Indeed, men are most depraved. But when we look at the ecclesiastic text and looking at Ecclesiastes 1:9, basically what I mean, it says, there is no new thing in science or art. There may be many new discoveries and inventions that you may think is new. But in the course of human experience, which is the preacher's theme in Ecclesiastes 1 and 9, there's nothing new, he's saying. Absolutely nothing. Basically what he's saying that the errors and the follies of the present day are but a repetition of the errors and the follies of past ages. There's nothing new under the sun. Don't think that anything that is happening today is so outrageous that it has never happened before. One generation after the other gives itself up to the same vain undertakings, that of gaining from this world solid peace and happiness, and then it meets the same bitter disappointment, no peace, no happiness, breaking of the covenants. The way of salvation remains so, just as it was in the past, in the ages past. The way of salvation remains the same in all ages. It is a way of holy watchfulness, prayerfulness, and self-denial. It has to happen the same today as it was yesterday. Thus, the history of the past, recorded in God's Word, the Bible, becomes a lamp to us. It becomes a lamp to all succeeding generations. I don't care how far away we think we've gotten from God. We are just as close right in front of Him, and we need that very same God to sustain us and to keep us and to give us encouragement to go on to the future tomorrow. Often I speak with the young generation, and you know what? I got to tell you the truth. I don't understand the younger generation. I really don't. When I was a young man in my 20s, I just got up and started doing things and doing it on my own. The young generation today, it's the same. They have to get up and do the very same things that we did. Human nature hasn't changed. It proceeds on to each succeeding generation. So let's look further at this verse and see what it says. They are altogether become filthy. That's what the verse says. The whole lump is soured with an evil leaven. Talking about human beings. When you think about what happened in the Boston bombings, that's nothing. When you think about the murders, the mayhem, the blunge, people just brutalizing each other, foul with the pervading pollution, made rank with general putrefaction, humans are a filthy lot of people. Thus, in God's sight, our aesthetic nature is not the pardon thing that we think it could be. Errors as to God are not the mild disease which some account them. They are abominable evils. That is the way that God views me. That is the way that God views us. We may try to clean it up. We may try to say that I'm not that way, that I'm really a good person, but God knows that I am totally depraved. See, fair is the world to blind eyes, and I believe that humans are very blind to that. But to the all-seeing eye, Jehovah, it is otherwise. Because Jehovah sees us as we are, not as we want to be seen, not as what we think we are, but as to who we really are. Let's look a little bit closer and investigate Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, as we look at this very important note about us as human beings. I should put it this way, this note about me as a human being. The verse says, we have all become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities are like the wind. They take us away. Now you may say, that's a pretty terrible account. I don't want to listen to you anymore, PJ. You're making me feel guilty about my humanity. Well, after all, this is called human nature, a study on human nature. Our human nature, God says that we're totally depraved. From the Old Testament book in the Bible, we have all become like one who is unclean. All of us are like one. You may find people that can be elevated to great positions. They are all unclean, filthy creatures before God. That's what I love about the Bible. It equalizes us. It lets us know who we really are. It says, we all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. Oh, my goodness, you're saying, I don't want to hear anymore. But in the verse that I've just read before us, we see some very important factors concerning God in our life. Let's look at them. Number one, we said that man has a potential to become as bad as he can. That's right. He has a potential to become as bad as he possibly can. Secondly, there is no amount of human righteousness that might change the sinful situation of man. In other words, none of us can change what we are, totally depraved creatures that I am. Thirdly, and I'm not bragging about it, I'm really ashamed of it. Thirdly, we are not eternal in the slightest degree. No, we are not. The only thing that is eternal about us is our souls. It lives on forever. This is what I believe. I don't believe that when we're dead, we're done. I believe that there has to be some recompense for this. God makes that perfectly clear. And fourthly, we shall not be remembered after time. Therefore, we need to concentrate on more important eternal things. That's right. When we're gone in time, the people may say, somebody made a polio vaccine or somebody did this or that. But no one will remember him in time. If they remember it at all, it may be in a history book somewhere or on a tape or on a disc or in a computer somewhere. But my friends, God will never forget us. I'm telling you. Now let's look deeper. When you look at Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7, here's a good verse. It says, I will give them a clean heart to know that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and they shall return to me with their whole heart. Now here's God in the Bible giving us another promise. In spite of all of our mess, in spite of our depravity, in spite of my wickedness, in spite of me being ridiculous, God intervenes for my sake. He intervenes for yours also. God says that he will do something about the condition of our human nature. What does he say in Jeremiah 24 and 7? He says that he is the one that allows human beings to see that he is God. Oh, I thank God for a sound mind where I can think about my Creator. Secondly, he also demonstrates the limit of one's knowledge. See, the self is dead because he says, I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord. Aren't these wonderful words? Then, when he develops a relationship with man, he declares that they belong to him and him alone. I love that, for it says, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And then at the end of the verse, he invokes these favors for the people for returning to him. For he says, for they shall return to me with the whole heart. These are wonderful promises that God gives us depraved creatures, so we don't have to languish in that depravity. So what do we learn as we look closely at the relationship between us and God, me and God, you and God? We have to learn something from this. Well, we learn that we have the right estimate of man. As we have that right estimate of man, who we are, totally depraved, wicked from the foundation, in every generation of our species, every nationality, every family name, every kindred tie, if we have to have the right estimate of man, then we gain the correct understanding of who God is and how he works in our lives. You see, the first part of this study, you became a little angry. But now the second part of it, you understand why God created us in the way that he did. How ought we to respond to the word of God in light of all that we know from that very same word? We extol and honor God. We repent and turn from our sin and our abominations, and we give our lives over to the God that loves us. We have to keep moving and see other scriptural evidences that speak to our hearts and helps us gain a better understanding of our human nature. I'm glad that you can join me for the study in human nature today. Just a very quick study, and I'll be doing these quick studies as I head off to the college to talk about human nature from another degree. Oh no, trust me, when I talk about human nature with John Locke, Rene Descartes, and all those other people, it's not like the human nature of the Bible. Quite different human nature format. Because God says of our human nature, all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then he says, right after that, he says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you for listening to Pastor John, your internet pastor, and thank you for taking the time. It only took me about 20 minutes. Well, I got to go to work. God bless you. You know the drill. Whatever you do, stay into the Word.